The interpretation of the role of intermittent therapy and of the data on intermittent therapy has been so clouded by the tremendous enthusiasm for early androgen deprivation therapy intervention in all patients with biochemical failure. And I think the question of timing of therapy early versus delayed is still very much up in the air. Studer reported at the AUA European trial, 900 patients, early versus delayed therapy, no difference in time to progression. The only patients who benefited from early therapy were patients who had a PSA doubling time less than a year, and then it's treatment prior to a PSA of 50 if they were over 70, or 20 if they were under 70. So what that tells is the vast majority of patients don't appear to benefit from early therapy, and so if you're looking at intermittent versus continuous in a cohort who don't benefit from that therapy, you're not going to see much impact. And then the optimal duration of the induction period, 9 months, not known. The correct answer is it's not known. Come back to that. This was really Whitmore's concept based on a patient. You've probably all heard the story, a competitive tennis player with metastatic disease, asymptomatic on DES, couldn't compete on the therapy, and asked Whitmore to take him off, and it led to a cohort of 20 patients at Memorial. And it just showed that you could retreat patients, they would still respond. It was pre-PSA, pre-LHRH. And then the work from Vancouver showing in the Shionogi mammary androgen-dependent model that by serially re-exposing the tumors to androgen, you could apparently reinduce androgen sensitivity. And this is in LINCAP, serial DHT, showing that this is PSA level in the animal. This is continuous, and this is serial DHT. That there's an apparent prolongation of androgen sensitivity by re-exposing the LINCAP cells to androgen. And just a comment that I'm sure this group, which is sophisticated in these matters, knows this well, but there is this paradoxical dual effect of androgens on prostate epithelium. The direct effect of androgens on prostatic epithelium is differentiation, and at some concentration, cell cycle arrest. There's an indirect effect on stroma mediated by a number of growth factors on proliferation. So you've got two phenomena, differentiation and arrest induction and proliferation. And so the idea that somehow testosterone is just a stimulator of prostate epithelial growth is not correct. And there's some other data, and I just showed one example, that this was Kiprianou, who I'm sure you know, showed a few years ago that the apoptotic effect of TGF-beta was enhanced by testosterone. So just another piece of data that re-exposure to testosterone may have an anti-proliferative or differentiation-inducing effect. This trial now goes back 15 years, and this was initiated by Nick Brokowski, who is a truly obsessive-compulsive individual. So this trial of 100 patients is now just being published for the first time, and it's been rewritten by him about 12 times. So this is actually still unpublished data. It's about 100 patients treated with 8 months of therapy, and just briefly, a couple of things that showed that the PSA lagged behind the testosterone. There's a window here, which is very predictive in terms of time to androgen-independent progression. The median time off therapy, this was biochemical failures, was 8 months after an 8-month induction. And just to show, and others have showed this as well, that the time of the off-treatment interval goes down with serial cycles. So it starts at 65% of the first total on and off-treatment cycle. By the fifth cycle, it drops to 46%. So the cycles get shorter over time. Another observation that came out of this is the baseline PSA at the time of initiation of androgen deprivation, and the median PSA in this cohort was around 10 at the time of treatment. The baseline PSA was a major predictor of the off-treatment interval. And it's interesting that the percentage of PSA response was very consistent regardless of the PSA. So the higher the baseline PSA, the higher the PSA nadir on treatment, because there was consistently about a 95% reduction, and the shorter the off-treatment interval. And then the quality of life tended to return to baseline in the off-treatment interval in all domains. And one of the controversies is the degree of testosterone recovery. And others have shown that patients who have 2 years or more of androgen deprivation have prolonged suppression of testosterone secretion, in some cases permanent. One study showed after 2 years, it takes a year for half of the patients to recover normal levels of testosterone. In this study, after 9 months of therapy, 6 months after discontinuation, the vast majority of patients had at least 50% recovery of testosterone, although about half still were less than normal. But very few of them had prolonged castrate levels.